Through these halls where lovers get lost and lust consumes the wicked. A place where reality collides with fantasy. In the pages where romance is second to none. Welcome to the Lover's Library.
Hey, lovers.
I'm Carly.
I'm Sydney.
And I'm Zoe.
And welcome back to the podcast, guys.
Sydney has the giggles.
I'm telling you, I didn't get a lot of sleep, and here we are. The coffee is wearing off very fast.
We better chug that.
Well, if you don't know, we're the Lover's Library.
We are.
We are. We're in the library. Back. And we love it. Today's book, I'm in love with. We are doing The Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood.
What's the scoop?
What's the scoop? All right. So Allie has a PhD in neuroscience? What?
Smart.
Yeah. I was like, shit. That stuff always like just blows me away.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. But she originally lived in Italy, but she also has lived in Germany and Japan before making her way to the US. Like our heroine Olive, Allie also likes to run. She is a professor and likes cake pops. So brings us to the book, The Love Hypothesis. Olive Smith is a third year PhD student at Stanford and has little time or interest in her love life. In an impulse attempt to convince her best friend she's happily dating someone, she throws herself at the first man she sees, dark and handsome, Mr. Adam Carlson. Mm-hmm. One thing leads to another and the two begin a fake relationship. But are the feelings real?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, they are.
They are.
So lovers quarrel.
Let's get into it, ladies.
So the first part was kind of funny. It was like a 2 years prior. I think it might have been the prologue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where she like runs into the bathroom because she's wearing these like old expired contacts and her eyes are burning and she can't see anything and they're like watering and she runs in there and there's a guy in there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know this at the time, but it was Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And he's giving her a hard time about how she shouldn't wear expired contacts. And I'm like, come on, we all know everybody that wears contacts wears them for longer than they're supposed to. Like, really, I have dailies and I wear them over and over and over. Because really? I'll wear them once and then I'll put them in the case and I won't wear them again for like a month.
Hmm. Huh.
And they're fine. So I'll get six.
Until they're not.
Like, right? She gives me a sample and it's like six. Uh-huh. And those will last me a whole year. Because I just really don't wear contacts very much.
Yeah, you usually are wearing your glasses.
So, but I felt for her when she was like, it's fine. It's fine, really. My eyes are just on fire. But he gave her this like wonderful kind of pep talk a little bit.
In the most like grumpy way though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
But I feel like, I was like, that really stuck with her for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cute because she was really worried about getting into the PhD program and what she was going to do with her life and if she was even should be doing this and whatnot. But
haven't we all been that in that exact situation trying to figure out
Is this
what
I want to do? Should I do this? Am I right for this?
Panicking in somebody's lab bathroom.
Mm-hmm. It's not a person bathroom, it's a lab bathroom.
Right.
But then we fast forward to 2 years later and she kisses Adam
just right on the like the first page of that chapter.
Yeah.
I know,
but it's
like, girl, never. I could never.
Did you guys have a feeling it was the bathroom guy?
Oh yeah, 100%.
From the beginning.
Yeah
I thought so too. And I kind of wish that they had talked more about that. Like, she touched on it briefly throughout the book in a couple different points, but I kind of wish they had done a little bit more with that. But
yeah.
So Olive is throwing herself at Adam because she went on a couple dates with this guy named Jeremy and her and him didn't really click, but he clicked with her best friend, Anne, like really well. And Anne was interested in him, but she's like girl code, like he's off limits.
Yep.
And Olive is over there like, no, seriously, it's totally fine. I'm not interested. Like, go for it. And Anne just is not believing it.
Yeah.
And which was kind of annoying. I was like, why are you pressuring this girl to do everything?
Yes.
Like, just believe her. She, you honored girl code. Now let me. honor it for me.
Yeah. Like, it's not like they were dating for years.
Yeah.
Or even like in our last book,
A Love Letter to Whiskey,
that's where they were literally dating for quite some time, did things together.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, those two. But Olive and Jeremy just went on a couple dates.
That's the thing, though.
And Anne was there.
They went on dates. They weren't boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Right. That was the thing, too. Official. I'm like, go for it.
Yeah. And especially if she was okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously made this into much bigger deal than it needed to be. But she apparently decides she's gonna, it was so impulsive. I think she just proved that she was over Jeremy.
Yeah.
Anne was coming and she knew, and she just grabbed this guy at the water fountain and kissed him. She did ask for consent first.
Yes.
didn't give him really much time to answer, but she did ask.
But later after the kiss, and she's like, I'm so sorry. You know, I shouldn't have done that and all these things. And she's like, he doesn't even know my name. I'm good. You mm-hmm. know, I'm just going to run off. And as she's running off, he yells, Olive, wait.
Yeah.
She's like, wait, did he just say my name? And because she knew who he was, she's like, that's the professor, like Adam Carlson. Like,
the mean professor that makes everybody cry.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't know how he knows who I am, but he knows I exist. What is going on? But all of this was just to convince Anne that she was okay to date Jeremy. I just said that was just so extreme.
Mm-hmm. It was. I would have been like, I feel like if I was in that situation as Olive, I'd have been like, girl, mind your business. Like, go be happy. I'm happy for you. That should be enough.
And also, like, what made her think that would work too? Because if you're a best friend with somebody, you tell them everything.
Yeah, she would have known already.
So if you're even talking to Adam, like, Anne would have known.
Yeah.
But then later when she's talking to Anne about it, she's like, that was bizarre, that kiss. And I'm like, yeah, it was, because it wasn't real.
Right.
But I feel like this, I just loved all the aspects of this book. And I know that they had mentioned, I had heard a few places that one of the characters was autistic.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly felt like both of them were.
Yeah, a little bit on the spectrum.
And I tried. Neurospicy. Yes, I have that written down in here. But I felt like I couldn't pinpoint who it was exactly, because I think they both kind of were. Yeah,
I think so too.
But I said that I really felt like this book represented what goes on in my head so well.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would go on these tangents in her mind and be thinking of like all these different cases, like, what, the one about the needing a visa and she's going to get deported back to Canada and all these different things. And then Anne's like, well, I would marry you. Like,
yeah, that was cute.
It was so funny, but she was just becoming unhinged in front of Anne. Like, she was just freaking out. And then Adam strolls up and he's just like cool, calm and collected. And he's just so smooth. He like puts his hand on her back and he's like, is everything okay here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you guys doing okay? And later, I think it was right after that, Anne leaves and her and Adam are kind of talking, and Adam goes to like introduce himself to her, and it made me think of myself just laughing at the most like inappropriate times. Or just Adam says, I have a really explosive laugh, and that I will laugh when other people aren't laughing.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me think, that's what I thought of when she did this part, because he goes, I'm Adam Carlson, I'm faculty. And she burst out laughing in his face and then regretted it immediately as she noticed his confused expression, as though he'd seriously thought Olive might not know who he was.
Right.
But I was just like, ah, I freaking love that.
She's like, does the hysterical laughing a couple times in this book. And I just think it's so funny because I do the same thing.
Yeah.
And I laugh at the most inappropriate times.
So they, at that point, I believe, is when they talk and they decide, we're going to do this fake dating thing.
Yeah, because he needs the fake dating coverage, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
For
so,
his research, or what is it?
Yeah.
Grant.
So yeah, he had funds that were like supposed to be for him and for his research in his lab. And for some reason, Stanford like froze his funds, and they were like, we're not sure if we're gonna give these out yet or not. Like,
they thought he was flight risk.
Yeah, they said he was a flight which risk.
Is so funny. Yeah. Like, you're just gonna not let this guy research because you think he's gonna leave, which I understand, you're saving yourself money, but come on now.
That's just stupid. But so he's like, if we fake date, it'll make everyone here think that I'm like stable and I'm not going anywhere because I've got a girlfriend that's here and they'll give me my money. So we'll just keep this going until that date. And then if they release my funds, then we're good to go. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I just need to convince Anne and everybody else that this is what, you know.
Which is two very vast extremes, you know, on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Like, this is for his job and livelihood, and this is for saving face with your friends. Like, I feel like we're not really matching extremes at the moment.
Well, this is, they also agree to meet every Wednesday for coffee, which I thought was really cute.
Yeah, that was cute.
And I thought it was funny how he would always pay for her, and like, I was so surprised how she would always order her coffee and then like tons of other stuff.
Yes, I would be so embarrassed. I would
me
not.
Too.
Like, I will take the smallest coffee you have, right? And the cheapest thing.
Can I just have water today?
Yeah.
Black coffee. I never drink black coffee, but I'll drink it
Starbucks
now.
Starbucks water is premium, though.
It is.
So
yeah,
they use a double. The triple.
It's triple
filter.
Osmosis.
Yeah. It's that's why it's so freaking good, man.
Yes.
It's
refreshing. Tap water. I literally don't care.
I'm picky with my water.
Me too.
But so they and he always buys her whatever she wants, and he never is weird about it. He's like, no, like, I make a lot more money than you. I know what it was like being this student and
I
not
like that
having.
He was like, I also was poor and scrounging for free food. So
take advantage of it.
I was really glad that Olive did confide in a friend.
Me too.
I was glad she told at least somebody.
Mm-hmm.
She told Malcolm. And his response was hilarious.
He's so funny.
He freaked out at first because he hates Adam. He's like, that guy flunked me and I hate him. He's such a jerk and blah, blah, blah. But little later we find out that Adam's like best friend is Dr. Rodriguez. And that is who Malcolm has the biggest crush on. So it's kind of like, oh, it's meant to be. But when they have their first coffee meetup, I really loved the favorite color talk.
Me too.
She was like, I don't know what to talk to him about. This is so weird. And what are we going to do? And so she just blurts out like, what's your favorite color? And he's like, that's an absurd question. Like, what do you mean? What's my favorite color?
And they're like, your voices.
They're like going back and forth about favorite colors. And she's like, it's green, isn't it? You like pea green and all these things. So and he finally comes up with black. And she's like, that's not a color. That's like all the colors together. And they're going back and forth about how that can't be a color. But then she turns around and says her favorite color is white. I was like,
Yeah.
You can't even give him shit over picking black and then you pick white.
But that's like quintessential grumpy sunshine.
Yeah.
Like, you're in color wise, y'all are grumpy sunshine.
Yes. Like, it's just the opposites, you know, from one spectrum to the other. And that's how they were. And it kind of just followed through with the whole book. It was so funny.
Yeah.
But I said that they were so different, but they complemented each other so well.
Did. Yeah, for sure.
Because
I would agree.
Adam definitely like kind of lived in a shell.
Mm-hmm.
He focused on his work and his studies, and that was about it. Like, he didn't, and he talks about it later, like, he doesn't like to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, I could see him not liking small talk, you know, and she's kind of more bubbly and would give people, like, she would go up and just hug Malcolm. You know?
Yeah.
And so they were very different, but they brought things out in each other that were so great.
And their bickering wasn't like real
toxic
bickering. It was just
playful.
Fun and
I loved that. The other thing at that conversation that made me laugh was she was trying to get to know him, you know, and figure out where he was from. And she thought he was from Kansas. And I was like, what the fuck that mean? What you got against Kansas?
Everybody mentioned Kansas when they're thinking like something boring, which I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I get it.
I don't know.
We're the Midwest for real.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah.
Not Chicago.
Right. I don't understand
that was so weird.
The.
We've
and
had
like,
that talk
Tennessee
before.
Is the South. I'm like, but you're not really the South. No. You're still in the. Anyways, let's right. not get into.
We have. Geography. We've already done that talk before. But I loved that he was always like grumpy and mean, but never to Olive.
Yep.
Like right. they talked about that several times too. Mm-hmm. They're like, he's so awful to everyone, and she's like, well, I was kind of starting to think that he's not as bad as everyone makes him out to be. Like, what are you talking about? But I. Like what I said, I feel like she helped him in that department a yeah, lot. Like
definitely
kind of brought to light that like, hey, you're being a jerk to everybody. Like, maybe
well,
you
even Holden says later, like, he's so much better now that you're around. Mm-hmm. So obviously other people in his life are realizing it too.
Yeah.
Which is like one of my favorite parts of this grumpy sunshine trope mm-hmm. is when that part is mentioned. Like, I love when they're the people on the outside are like, wow, you are so much better with her around. And then if that's
or even kinda, the friends that were like, look at the way he looks at you. No, he's exactly, completely obsessed with
it
you.
It melts my heart every time because I'm like.
But the people that are in it never see it.
Yes, exactly. They don't. They will never see it. But okay, going back to our couch conversation, just a tiny bit and we'll get back, I promise. But that's the kind of thing I like. Like if I were to duplicate that into my life, mm-hmm. I think the possessiveness that I liked in that what we were talking about is yeah. the grumpy but you're kind to me all the time.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's like the possessiveness that I'm yeah. trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, but not like really possessive because
you
mean
only- to everybody else but not to me.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, back to the book.
Well, in the book, Olive is trying so hard to find some funding for her study, which is a preventative testing for pancreatic cancer mm-hmm. to get earlier detection because they said typically by the time that it is found out, it's discovered, it's like too late for yeah. that person. Mm-hmm. And we learned that it's for her mother mm-hmm. that had it and passed away. And then it was so, her story was so sad.
Yeah. She like really she didn't got to have anyone for yeah. a long time.
And she went to foster care and then got mm-hmm. emancipated when she was like 16 so that she could go live on her own and like, mm-hmm. she's just so used to being alone. Mm-hmm. But I like that she did let people in her life too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she's saying, well, everyone I love leaves. Mm-hmm. And, but then she's like not even noticing that she has these two wonderful friends in yeah. her life yeah. that are there for
she's
her.
She's saying it to Malcolm, who's like, I'm right here. Yeah. And I love you and I care about you.
And I'm not going anywhere. But one of the ways that she can continue her studies without getting the grant money was to go to another lab mm-hmm. and work yeah. at their lab that they might have better equipment than what she has. And so she's been sending out all these emails trying to get someone to take her study and be like, yeah, that's legit. Like come to mine. Mm-hmm. And that's when we meet Tom.
Tom.
So she is emailed to interview with Tom Benton from Harvard, who we later find out is a friend in quotes of Adam. Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah. So Adam and Olive are on, they're just leaving their little coffee date and they run into Tom and he ends up pressuring Olive to let's just go do that right now. Like, let's just go.
Yeah.
That is, if you are not prepared, mm-mm. especially with her like neurodivergent kind of
yeah.
way, like that is. That's too much. We need to prepare.
I would have frozen right there and probably
spontaneity
vomited.
Is not in that.
No,
field
people
house
that are
of-
neural spicy do not like change. They like routine and
mm-hmm. especially when you're with something that is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And she already didn't feel prepared for it to begin with.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, let's just go do it right now. And so I love that Adam went with mm-hmm. and that she realized the level of calm that he brought to her mm-hmm. because he made it to where she felt more comfortable. And just like his leg pressing against her, even though he wasn't really like, he wasn't touching her necessarily like in an intentional way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was also, you knew it was intentional. He was trying yeah. to let her know, like, I'm here. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You know? But then Tom was just... He was so nonchalant about everything, like just everything's no big deal and
yeah.
whatever, you know? And so he's talking to her about her project and he goes, so what's cool about your project? And then she just sits there and she's like, what?
Yeah.
And then
what is cool about this? This is a lot of hard work that I'm doing. And
yeah. And Adam immediately like recognized her panic and was like, she doesn't understand that question because that's a very broad question. Mm-hmm. And in her how her mind works, she needs direct.
Right.
You know? And so when he asked that question, her brain's like, well, I could go off 10 different ways to answer this question. Yeah. And I don't know which way you want me to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that Adam stepped in and was actually like, what kind of question is that?
Mm-hmm.
And Tom just said, he shrugged. And then he said, what's cool about your project? Adam repeated back. Yeah, cool. You know what I mean? He said, I don't think I do. And maybe neither does Olive. And then Tom huffed. Fine. What would you ask? And then Adam lists off this like wonderful question. He's like, what issue does your project target? What do you think is why do you think it's significant? What gaps in the literature does it fill? What techniques are you using? What challenges do you foresee?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, thank you.
Yeah. Matter. Actual questions.
Like, golly, like
that get to the heart
of
stuff.
Was it that hard to like actually formulate a legit question and not be a child?
I know that they're scientists and they have to like run their tests and stuff, and it's not really humane to run it on humans. But I don't like that they're using animals.
I know. I kind of felt bad.
I felt bad for the mice and the rats.
Mm-hmm. They did mention the mice.
There's a lot of them, though.
No, it's sad.
They're disposable.
There's a lot of people.
But she gets through.
8 billion. I mean, I get it.
Right. She gets through the interview and she feels like it went okay.
At first, I was really excited about this. Like, okay, that's really cool that he was just like, yeah, sure, let's do it. But then as time went on, I was like, it was kind of disrespectful to be like, oh, well, let's just meet in this coffee shop since we're here.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, oh, give you no I'm time. Here. Let's plan at 2 o'clock today or whatever.
Yeah. Or we can meet earlier. Do you want to meet? Ask if that's okay. Not.
Yeah.
He just made it so.
You interrupted her date and you guys already had a time planned for later.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't like that.
Yeah. But then Tom mentions that he's been invited there for a talk. And so I thought it was funny how Olive was like, oh yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait. And then as soon as he's gone, she's like, what talk? When is it and where is it? And Adam fills her in. And so her and Anne they get there for this talk in the auditorium or whatever is full. And there's like nowhere to sit. And they're making their way in and they realize like there literally is nowhere to sit. And they run into Adam and Holden Rodriguez. And Anne drove me crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was pressuring Olive so hard to sit on his lap. And I was like,
especially when you first start dating somebody, the PDA is awkward. You don't need that all the time.
And you're at Stanford.
Yeah.
You're a freaking scientist. You're in a room full of scientists. Like everyone should be pretty professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, he's a superior. Level.
Yeah. And he's, he's a superior.
So you can't just sit on your even though there are different departments, it's still like I'm a student. You're a professor. The dynamics are not student, where they need to be.
If you see a professor, just go ahead and sit on their laps.
Yeah.
We're just taking up more room.
Right. I just felt like that was so unprofessional. And I was mad for Olive. I was like, how could Anne even suggest that? Like,
and I know the book doesn't really like super explain like that she's really thin, but there are different parts about it that are like he even says he wants to feed her more because she's thin, and so you know that she maybe doesn't weigh a whole lot, but I don't care. At any point in my life, any weight I've been, I don't want to sit on somebody's lap because I am so self-conscious about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when she apologized to him and he was so nice about it, and he just like had his hand on her hip and things.
Yeah,
that's so sweet. But at that point I still would be so uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. But she was able to like relax. Like once she sat down in his lap and she was like, this is fucking weird. And then he like readjusts her.
Yeah.
When he like pulls her more onto his lap and she gets like cozy. I could just picture that so well. I could almost feel it. I could feel how cozy and comfortable she was sitting on his lap and leaning up against him. And I thought it was so funny how he was teasing her about
Don't fall asleep.
Don't fall asleep.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, nope. Like,
but if I was in that situation, I would have been so weirded out by it. I would have been like, hey, I'm just going to go stand by the wall.
Yeah. I wouldn't have made it that far down.
No, I would have like been like, Anne would have been like, girl, go sit on his lap. I was like, girl,
and why don't you go sit on his lap? Awkward. I would have just blurted out some random lie. Like, I actually just bled through my pants, so I can't sit on you.
I actually have to go to the bathroom real quick before this starts and then just don't come back. Right.
I'll see you at Wednesday coffee. Bye. Yeah.
Where did you guys picture him sitting in the auditorium when this happened?
Like at the front.
I was yeah.
corner.
Oh, second, I pictured front row.
Second row.
Yeah.
Like three seats in.
Yeah.
You know how like in those like what you would assume is a college classroom where they have like the different levels uh-huh.
mm-hmm.
in the stadium. Yeah. I saw him like second, third row. And you know how like the stage part is the professor's desk here at the far side. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the big screen. Like he would have been like right there, mm-hmm. maybe a couple rows back behind there, close mm-hmm. to the wall railing, yeah. like by the door.
Yeah.
That's where I saw. So if she was sitting on his lap, not only is everybody seeing this, but they have a front row seat yeah. to everything yeah. that's happening.
And everyone's walking in, seeing it like.
Exactly.
So awkward.
So exactly. uncomfortable.
So I can sit behind
you. Could you imagine the dean walking in and seeing,
girl,
like, why isn't my professor sitting with some chick on his lap?
Yeah.
I'd be like, you're really not getting that funny now, buddy. Here. No. This is weird. I would have been the weirdo that sat like crisscross applesauce on the floor right oh, in yeah. the front.
Me too.
Just to be like.
Yeah. Because if everybody is there and there's no seating, that's the obvious next choice.
Yeah. Like lean up against the wall.
There was no room on the floor. So there wasn't anywhere. But just stand.
Yeah.
Just stand
yeah.
somewhere far back. You don't need to see. You can hear.
Right.
Yeah. Can I get the slides for this after?
Yeah.
But I think at this point, they both kind of started to realize that they were like.
Starting to like
enjoy each other a little bit.
I mean, it helped the plot along. Mm-hmm. It did. So but we then, needed it, but. Geez.
Yeah. Well, then afterwards, after this, everyone's trying to leave at the same time. And the parking lot is all like crowded and busy and whatnot. And Anne and Olive are walking and they see it's like super congested in one area and they're like, what is going on over there? So of course they go over there to see what's happening.
This part
as one would.
Was very attractive.
And so I think it was like the secretary,
uh-huh.
her truck had died in the middle of the drive, like in the mm-hmm. one of the driveways, and no one could get around her. And so Adam just like pushed a whole damn truck like by himself
uphill.
He just pushed it out of the way and just rolled it on over.
Golly.
But then we get Anne again and she's like,
that's your man.
Go kiss him. Go kiss him. I'm like, why?
He's a hero.
Like, what?
Like, we already said goodbye.
Yeah.
I just sat in this man's lap for an hour.
That is so weird.
I think we've had enough.
I'm just going to walk across the parking lot and make out with him real quick because he just pushed a truck. Like,
that man is breathing hard.
I would have told him later on and been like, sir, I'd watch that any day.
No.
It was so weird.
And got on my nerves with that.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I was like, girl, shut up. Why don't you go be in your own relationship and let's see how far that goes. Yes. Okay?
Right.
Okay?
Oof.
We wouldn't have been friends. We would not have been friends.
Then she's like, yeah, she's starting to catch the feelings for him. And then that's the point when she's in lab and Chase. Was it Chase or Greg? I think Greg came in and was freaking out, and Chase was the friend trying to smooth things over. Well, Greg had his big like project presentation where he was like presenting his study to the board of teachers that were all or professors that were all included in his, you know, whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam rejected it and was like, no, you need to fix some things first. I'm not passing you on to the next level yet.
Yep.
And Greg freaked the hell out. And he came into the lab, and I get being upset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fine. But he started lashing out at Olive, and she had nothing to do with it. Like, yeah. Nothing. That's like Peyton doing something to piss Adam off at work. And then me being mad at Zoe about it.
Yeah, for real. Like,
it's just so weird.
There's yeah. just, you cannot control what this other person is going to do.
Literally.
Yeah.
And honestly, even if he told her prior, like, I'm not going to pass Greg his project. And she said, well, that's not fair. He would not have cared. And he still would have not passed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He might have been maybe a smidge nicer, but probably yeah. not.
Right. Well, and yeah, like when she did confront him about it and she's like, why didn't you? And he's like, I can't talk to you about that. Like, mm-hmm. that's not anything I can talk to you about. She's like, well, maybe it could be nicer. And he's like, no, like his study was lacking. It needs to be fixed before yeah. it proceeds. Like, this is serious, you know?
Yeah.
He's making sure they're not set up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to do his job.
Yeah, for real.
Well, probably because nowadays everyone is so worried about criticism and critiquing people in a nice way because we don't want to hurt feelings and mm-hmm. yada yada, when it's like, really,
people need their feelings hurt.
I think every once in a while, yeah. Like, you need to learn how to be critiqued and not take offense to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm really bad about this as well, but it is important because when you get into work life, it's like your boss tries to critique you on something. You can't
get offended
and freak out and start bashing them to everybody. Like, yeah. that's a good way to get fired.
Yeah, for real.
So I just.
Yeah. Plus, it's a good practice to take criticism because it helps you grow. So if yeah. if you don't want to grow, sure. Have a bunch of yes men around you if that's what you want in your life. But
you also have to do the critiquing in the appropriate way.
Exactly. Yes. I mean,
and,
yes.
And I think that Adam was realizing that some of the ways he was going about, you know, critiquing his students was not the right way.
Mm-hmm.
He was critiquing their work and not them personally. But at the same time, I think that the students were feeling like attacked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he does come around and start
to. I feel like one thing about it is, though, they're already coming into this thinking that Dr. Carlson is such an asshole and he makes people cry. And so then when he rejects your work, that's just putting it on top of the pile. Like, mm-hmm. oh, he is such a jerk. It's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't just take accountability.
Well, and also, I don't know if you guys have been around many scientists in your life. They are a different breed.
Yeah, they are.
Girl, tell me about it.
They are interesting. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that.
I love my job, but some of the doctors I work with, the things they say, I'm like, you can't say that to people.
Right. Yeah, they're just, well, they are also, not all of them, but a lot of them think very highly of themselves. And it's like, you poop just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Your poop is stinky too. Like, you're not made of gold and rainbows, like
gold rainbows.
You might be really smart, but you're not much different than the rest of us.
Yeah, the like, ego is out of this world.
So then we move on to the picnic. And Anne is freaking out about the sunscreen. Everybody's gotta wear sunscreen. You have freckles, you're gonna die. You need to put sunscreen on. So she, like, at first it's kind of like, okay, like, she really wants to make sure everyone gets sunscreen on. That's fine. But then when she goes back and, like, squirts a shit ton on Olive's hands, I'm like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? She already put it on. She's an adult. She put some on. That's better than nothing. Like, leave her alone. And you put way too much on her hands.
Yeah.
And you didn't even try to help her, like, wipe some. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, that was a lot. Let me get some.
Too much sunscreen.
The feeling of sunscreen freaks me out. Somebody else has to put it on me or I have to spray it. Mm-hmm. I cannot touch it.
I love
it.
A spray.
I have certain brands that I like, and I've just found them recently that are actually, like, not bad to put on.
Uh-huh.
I like the roll-on ones.
I like Neutrogena spray.
I don't remember the brand of mine. It's got the monkey on it.
I know what you're
talking about.
Banana boat. Yellow can?
Yeah, it's, like, brown and...
She's right.
Is it banana boat? Banana boat has a banana on it.
There's a monkey, though. Monkeys like bananas.
I don't know.
Bamboo?
But anyways,
we've gone too far.
Instead of Anne being like, oh no, let's wipe off the sunscreen. She's like, let's find a person to wipe it on. And look, there Sun he bum. Is.
Oh, okay, you're right. Yeah,
it is.
Sorry.
Then she's like, look at that shirtless guy. Oh, banana boat is a sunscreen. However, it is not.
It's leaves.
Yeah. Brown.
It used to be blue.
I like the smell of it, though.
And white and have a banana on it. But now it is not.
Pretty
not
nice. Pretty nice.
So she squirts them on her hand. It's too much. They find a naked guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not fully. <She's> like,
why don't you that just would put be it on
Ultimate Frisbee just got more ultimate.
I loved that after. So Adam does come over and she puts it on him. Was this giving you cringe?
Yes.
You specifically.
To put on the sunscreen?
Yes.
I would never put on sunscreen.
On a sweaty body?
Well, I don't know.
I ain't doing that.
Am I attracted to him?
I was just thinking about how he was sweaty and I'm going to be rubbing this cream on him and it's going to mix. Off. It's not going to go on right. And I was just like, no, I need to like wipe him off with a towel first and then put the sunscreen on. This isn't going to work.
I'm also very much a person that's like, if you're an adult, you are very capable of doing this. So the only people that I'm going to be putting sunblock on is children.
Hey, you can't reach your back.
Or a friend that's like, hey, can you put this on me?
Yeah, like if we were at the beach and you're like, hey, can you just spray this on me really quick? Sure.
No, yeah. Sydney, I need you to put the actual lotion on my back, fully covered.
Yes, I'm going to go fast, skin. But I'll do it. It's not that, I'm not touchy-feely like that. So,
that's
I mean,
when I'm like, let me do it because you're going to burn to shit because she's going to miss a spot. Right.
There's going to be like hand smear marks.
You'll be like, what is this? A huge stripe across your back that's like bright red, didn't get covered. Well, she gets at him and she puts the sunscreen on him and everything, but I liked
she was taking her time.
Yeah,
okay,
but she's like, I will not do his abdomen. She like stopped there. She's like, clavicles, shoulders, not doing your stomach.
He can literally do that.
I mean, you're already in it and it's all over your hands. You might as well touch the abs.
Yeah.
it would have been a different situation. Things are getting, hands are getting closer to parts.
They would have had to leave.
Or he would have had to jump in the water really fast.
Well, I like when they're talking while she's doing this. Mm-hmm. And he says, what did he say? He said, you're friends with really nosy people. And she says, I know, believe me, I'm really regretting befriending Anne right now. Kind of contemplating assassinating her, to tell the truth.
That was me the whole book, honestly, with her.
Right? I was like, come on, redeem yourself. She never really did for me, honestly.
No.
But anywho, the picnic is fine, whatever. Next time, she's working late in the lab and she goes to get some chips. And she realizes that her favorite chips that she had been eyeing like all day are no longer there and they're gone. So she realizes that the chips are gone and she has to pick something else. And this is like crisis.
Honestly, I've been there.
Me too.
Like, you've been looking forward to something all day and it's either not working or it's not there.
Mm. Or it gets stuck.
Yes. And you just full on have a breakdown.
Yeah.
I have 100% been in this situation.
Yes. Well, and then she hears this like laughing from behind her and she's like, what the... And it's like, Adam.
Who's sitting here in the dark?
Yeah, he was in the dark, sitting on the couch, eating the chips.
Mm-hmm.
How rude.
She's like, first off, why are you in the dark? He's like, oh, the light doesn't work. She's like, oh, okay. And then she realizes that he ate the last bag of chips. And then he's like, oh, you can have them. It's okay. Like, I don't need them. And I was like, that's so sweet. But it was so funny because she was like, give me the chips.
Yeah. Even later, he's like, those are clearly your favorite chips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then, so they're just talking and then they kind of get into some deep talk and she actually like talks to him about her mom and her, her past. And that's when we learn all the stuff about, you know, why she's doing the study and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just liked that he listened so well. And it was like, you know, when you're listening or when you're talking to somebody and they're listening to fix things, I think we've talked about this before. Yeah. You're either like you're listening to fix things or you're listening just to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really good about gauging the situation and just like you're just telling me like she's just venting and needs to talk about this. Mm-hmm. So he just listened. And then she started to get a little teary eyed. And he like digs around in his pocket to find a paper napkin and he hands it to her. And she says, Adam, did you just offer me a used tissue? He said, I panicked. And then she's like, I'm sorry, I'm not usually like this. And she's like being weepy, but then she goes ahead and uses the the dirty tissue. I thought that part made me laugh.
This book made me giggle a lot.
Yeah, it was really cute. I really read it cute. Really fast too.
It's mm-hmm. a quick read.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good sized book too. It's not like it's super short.
No.
But then the next thing I come across was
Oh wait, I want to say something about that.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was weird that Jeremy comes out and is talking to them and uh-huh. then he's like, "Oh, I'm going to go back. Are you coming with me?" And she's like, "Yeah." But then he waits on her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like just leave them alone. They're clearly having a conversation, sitting in the dark. She's not coming with you.
Yeah.
Like, why did you have to do that?
Yeah,
so
that was weird.
That made me not like him, and so I didn't like Anne or him.
Yeah.
I just thought that was weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
I thought that was going to come up later. Like, he was going to be weird about it.
Something weird would have happened.
Never happened.
Or him, Jeremy be like, I really still like you.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, throw another wrench in the plan.
Yeah, right.
Jesus. But that part kind of fed into more of me feeling like Adam was just, like, a good person all around.
Mm-hmm. Solid guy.
And he was, like, yeah, he was grumpy, but he... His intentions were always for the best. They might not have came out in the best way, but they were always good. And I liked the part where Holden was telling them about how him and Adam have been friends for a really long time. Yeah. And that how they even went to prom together one year because mm-hmm. his boyfriend had broke up with him like right before and he didn't have a date. And so he asked Adam to go with him. And he said, we held hands. We slow danced. We made Richie spit out his punch and regret every single one of his wretched choices. Then we went home and played even more Final Fantasy. It was the shit. And then Adam said, it was surprisingly fun. I was like, I could just see him being like legit, like holding hands with his friend.
Yeah.
And like dancing with him and making, he wants to make sure everyone feels special, you know,
which is beautiful.
Yeah. I wish I would have, like, we would have got a little more about him
mm-hmm.
because we just got like tidbits of his family and his past.
Well, maybe she'll come out with another book about mm-hmm. them.
That's what I was thinking,
because she has more in this series.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's, I have a couple written down extra mm-hmm. books for mm-hmm. the series,
but then they're all planning to go to this conference that's in Boston. And this is when shit just like comes unraveled for Olive. And I felt so bad for her.
Well, it was so exciting because she finds out that her project is picked to be a talk.
Yeah.
And that has to be something, like, she's obviously really nervous about it.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to throw up. Doesn't like public speaking, which mm-hmm. same girl. I could never. But the first thing she finds out is that her friends have booked different rooms. So she's on her own.
Did that make you mad?
Yeah. Yes,
that really upset me.
Like, you all know how poor you are, and you didn't even want to give her a heads up.
Yeah. You didn't even talk to her. Like, as a friend, you discuss that prior.
Yes. Especially if you're traveling together.
Yeah, we're all going somewhere. We're all going to the same event, mm-hmm. the same town, at the same time.
It only makes sense.
But Anne, again, just assumed that she was like, oh, they're probably having sex, so they're going to sleep in the same room.
But that's at least check with her before you finalize your plans.
But also, if you are such good friends with her, wouldn't you know that that's not something that she just does all the time?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
And that's not how everybody does their relationships.
Yeah.
So you can't just assume. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's also like a professional environment as well. Yeah. So
maybe they weren't okay with sharing a room at this.
Exactly.
Like, how does she know? Mm-hmm. But now you just left her out and she's, you know, shit out of luck.
What if Adam wasn't even going to go?
Yeah.
Then she'd be in the hallway in front of your room, sitting there waiting for you to open the door.
Yeah. Ugh. That part made me really upset.
And just sucked as a friend.
Yeah.
Didn't like her. Sorry. I'll say it again at the end, too.
I didn't like her.
No.
I didn't like her either. Like I said, I don't think she really redeemed herself for me much in this book. Like, she really didn't do much.
No.
I think she did try to explain a little bit near the end, but that was, it wasn't enough for me. But then she goes to her, she was at the coffee shop with Malcolm.
Yeah.
Because she's freaking out about everything. And she's freaking out because she realized she has feelings for Adam. Oh, this part made me
so annoyed.
Yeah. And she's basically like, well, I'm falling for him and I really like him and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. How do I tell him that I have a crush on him?
Yeah. And then she forgets that it's Wednesday and it's 10 o'clock and Adam is standing right behind her.
Malcolm's like, you should really stop talking to us.
Yeah.
But I love those moments, though. Yeah. I love when that happens. But it doesn't happen often enough, though.
I was so frustrated that when Adam did sit down with her and then she didn't admit to him that it was about him.
Yes.
Like, she made him think that it was about somebody else.
And he assumed Jeremy. Come on. Ugh, now.
Gross.
But, not that we heard anything bad about Jeremy, just that he spreads gossip.
Right. And he's with Anne.
Yeah.
And we don't like Anne.
I don't like him because it sounded like he was on a date with Olive, but he was talking to Anne the whole time.
He was. It was, he was her date to Anne's birthday party.
Mm-hmm. It's very twisted.
It's a bit odd.
Yeah.
And it's like very high school immature. And y'all are not in high school. You're not even in undergrad school. You are in graduate school.
Well, and I think
PhD.
Yes. I think that's why Olive and Adam worked out so well, even with their age gap, because she was more mature.
Yeah. Like, what was the age gap? Do we know how much?
She was 20. She was either 24 or 26, and he was in his 30s.
Yeah.
He might have been 34.
26.
And I loved how she was making fun of him and his age. Like, yeah, he was going to have osteoporosis and his knees were probably going to go bad. And that was so funny.
He also, like, seemed young, though. Not, like, young in maturity, but, like, young and, like, character-wise. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like,
well, I think
not
that,
vibrancy, but do you know what I'm trying to say?
Well, when you listen to his life story about, you know, growing up in this professional environment and then being an excellent scholar, he didn't really get a lot of time to
be a child or have
I feel like he kind of comes out a little bit when he's around her. Like, she brings out that
the kitty
spontaneity and spunkiness, and not everything is so serious all the time. But so they sit down together at the coffee shop. She convinces him that she was talking about somebody else, but they were he's like, so what's going on? Like, why are you so worked up? And she tells him about the talk, and he's like, yeah, I'll go, I'll watch you. Like, would you like that? And she's like, yes, yes, please. Like, and she's like, it would make me feel so much more comfortable if he was there. And then he offers her to stay in his room with him. And I highlighted this part because I was just freaking dying.
Yeah, she's so funny.
And he's like, you can stay in mine. And she's like, what? And she said, Adam, there will only be one bed. He's like, no, as I said, it's a double. It is not. It won't be. Nope. There will only one bed for sure. He's like, I got the booking confirmation if you want to see it. She's like, it doesn't matter. It's one bed. It's always one bed.
It always is. It's always raining.
It's always, always one bed. And then when they get there, there were two beds. I thought that was so funny.
So we didn't get the fulfillment of a one bed trope.
But they didn't need that second bed.
Yeah.
But so then they end up getting there and she gets in the room and everything, and there are two beds. She doesn't get to see. Does she see him? Yeah, she sees him right before her speech. And she realizes at that moment that he's not going to be able to make it because he's a keynote speaker.
Yeah.
And that's going on at the exact same time as her speech.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of just like, oh, my gosh. But she pulls it through. She goes and does her speech, and she did a great job. She said she stumbled a little bit, but she realized that, like, oh, this is kind of fun, like, talking about something I'm passionate about to other people who are interested in the same thing. So she did a great, great time. But the second she saw Tom, I knew
something was going to go
bad. We were in trouble.
He's the worst.
I was like, no.
It reminded me of what happened in the other book.
Yes.
With, what's her name? Layla?
Leah.
And Mukesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fuck that guy.
Let's not bring it up. Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to make us all mad again.
We'll make ourselves mad because I want to read a direct quote. So, first off, Tom puts his hands on her.
Ooh,
I
would have
destroyed this man. I would have destroyed him. Like, touch me once, you might get away with it. I'm a to get some space between us, but if you come after me again,
yeah,
to have the gall,
the
to,
guff
to just like yeah. her push you off and be like, you, what are you doing,
right?
And yeah. you come back again. Mm-mm. Disgusting.
Psycho.
This part made me so mad.
Tell us, girl. Tell us the
but
quote.
He says, listen, Olive, my friendly advice is suck it up. Keep Adam happy and interested as long as possible, and then come to my lab to finally do some decent work. If you keep me happy, I'll make sure you can save the world from pancreatic cancer.
How just gross and that's annoying. What I was gonna say.
Just absolutely gross and disgusting.
Well, and then human. He throws her mom in it. He's like, your nice little sob story about your mom or your aunt or your stupid kindergarten teacher dying from it is only going to get you so far. You're mediocre.
This man right here, this man, when I was reading this, I was getting hot.
Me too.
I was like taking sweaters off. I was like, bro, you don't even, I just need a dark alleyway and a couple of minutes. That's all I need.
Well, fuck you up. But she is able to get away from him and she gets back to her room and she just like realizes what just happened and what he's done. Like basically he tried to assault her. He basically tore apart her work and said she's stupid and that the only reason why she has gotten to where she is because of Adam. And then he basically is blackmailing her, threatening her, like, if you don't like keep up with this end of the deal, like, I'm gonna steal all your work.
Yeah.
So if you decide you're not gonna come to Boston and work for me in the lab, like, I already have everything I need mm-hmm. to continue on with your study without you.
And if you tell Adam, he's not gonna believe you because yeah. I'm his best friend.
Yeah. I was just like, this is so fucked up.
But you know this happens.
Oh, yeah.
It's just the sucky part yeah. about the world. You know, this is a stupid yeah. world.
But I had already put it in my head what was going to happen.
I was hoping.
Because I knew it.
You know once what I mean? She said.
Because Adam ain't no punk.
I
no,
knew Adam I wasn't. Mean, the phone?
Yes.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
But when Adam starts. When he let's not move too far.
So ahead. She gets in the room, she's a mess, she's sobbing, and then Adam comes in and she wasn't expecting him to come back. Mm-hmm. And I just loved how he knew immediately that like something is more wrong than yes. someone getting the last bag of your favorite chips. Like
right.
you know? And the part that really got me was that it said she startled when she found him kneeling in front of her, right by her chair, his head level with hers, studying her with a worried frown. She made to hide her face in her palms, but his hand came up to her chin and lifted it up until she had no choice but to meet his eyes. Oh. Then his fingers slid up under her cheek, cupping it as he asked yet again, Olive, what happened? But there are so many like components to that are like such good communication oh. parts. Like I'm getting, and this goes with kids. Oh, I'm yeah, getting sure. on your level. Uh-huh. Like mm-hmm. we are at the same level. I'm showing you that I'm here for you. Like mm-hmm. physical touch, calm voice, like all those things mm-hmm. are like, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going anywhere. Not yeah. the touching. I don't yeah. have the scoop their chin, but it works.
Yes.
It works. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she is able to play it off. She's like,
which made me so mad.
I know. I wish she had told him about what happened before they had sex for the first time.
Me too.
Because yeah. I felt like
she was hiding a part
that was
of that.
So like just lies built up. Like
I thought that they just, were gonna have sex and then he was gonna find out from Tom and then not believe her.
Yeah, I wish they hadn't. Yeah, because that kind of ties in with the yeah. Tom basically saying you're just sleeping with him to get what you want, and yeah. then there she is sleeping with him before she yeah. knows he knows what's going on.
Yeah,
but she mentions that her phone battery had died because she forgot to turn off her recording after her talk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, fucking show him the recording. It's right there. Mm-hmm. I was like, I know yeah. you got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she even noticed that before they had sex, I believe, because I was like, show him right now and we'll be good.
Right.
I don't remember.
I feel like it might have been. But then Adam goes to his interviews. So he leaves her hotel because he's going to be staying at another hotel that Harvard has put him in because he's interviewing for a job at Harvard.
Right.
And she's so confused because she's like, you said you weren't going to leave and here you are leaving. But the only reason why he's doing that is because he knows she's going to Harvard mm-hmm. next year and he wants to be with her.
She's such a dummy.
Such a dummy for someone so, smart. Yeah. But
very,
so
very dim.
She's just like, she's a hot mess. So she had ran into him or something. I can't remember, but she finally goes over to his hotel and she's like, I just need to end this. Just tell him we're done, because that's when she found out that his
funds were unfrozen. His
funds were released to him. So yeah. He was going to be able to continue. And she's like, you don't have to go to Harvard. Like, you don't have to do all that. It's fine. You know, your funds are there. You're good. And she's like, and we don't have to pretend anymore. So everything's good. Mm-hmm. I was just like, this is stupid. This is so stupid. Mm-hmm. So then she goes back to her hotel and she just loses it because she's like, I loved him. I do love him. Like, what? This sucks.
This is loving. What is that book we just read? Loving, hate you.
The Trouble with Hating You.
Jeez. The Trouble with Hating You.
This is the end of their book.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. It's not pretty, exactly,
it's
but.
It's close.
Yeah.
But they weren't mad at each other. Like, Adam and Olive were never mad at each other.
Yeah, no. I don't think they ever really could.
Yeah.
Get to that point.
But this is when she finally gets to. Her friends are in the room with her and they're talking, and she's her teacher had emailed her and she's like, hey, you never did send me that recording. Send it to me. And Olive knew that she had recorded too much. So she was trying to clip the video or the sound back to where she could end it, where it was supposed to end, and send it to her teacher. If you were going to do that, would you start from the end of the recording and work your way in, or would you start from the beginning of the recording and work your way to the end?
Beginning
start from
to
the end.
I would have started from the beginning, but yeah. She started from the end.
That's how I would have started.
And that's why she caught it. It would have been, she recorded for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
So if she had, it was a 10-minute speech. If she had started from the beginning.
I would have deleted the rest of that recording.
Yeah, she wouldn't have even known.
Mm-hmm.
But so since she's
started, I guess
from
I'm gonna start doing that just in case I
have any good footage right, to keep. But in her process of editing, she stops at a certain point and it plays, and it's Tom threatening her.
Mm-hmm.
And Anne and Malcolm are like, what the fuck? That's when they're like, no, you need to go tell him right now, because mm-hmm. he's about to interview to work with Tom.
Yeah.
Like, you need to go tell him and make it stop. Like, and so she gets in an Uber and she's like on her way. And she gets there, and I just love this part. Mm. She walks in, and she sees him, and she's like, I'm just going to, like, politely, like, be like, hey, can you come talk to me in a little bit when you're done, when you get a free minute?
Nope.
But she gets there, and Adam sees her immediately and gets up and, like, comes over to talk to her. And he's like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, Tom shows up.
Ugh.
And he says, Olive, I know you're young and you don't know how these things work, but Adam's here to interview for a very important position and he can't just leave. Adam ordered him, voice
Ooh.
Low and cold.
Ooh, that man.
And she's like, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll leave, because she thought that he was talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, not you, Tom, leave us. I was like, yes.
It's giving very much Prince vibes. Like,
well,
I'm a Prince royalty.
That there is something special about meaning the world to someone.
Yes.
Where it doesn't matter what's going on in that moment.
They stop.
If they need you, you are there regardless of what is going on.
Yeah.
Without question, without hemming and hawing about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no, you need me? Okay, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Oof. I love when books do that.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to what I like.
Yes.
Going back to our conversation. Like, if you will stop your whole world to be present with me,
mm-hmm.
that means so much.
Yes.
So much.
But she, everyone's bickering. Tom is talking shit, whatever.
Yes, he does.
She hits play on the phone.
Girl, you better push play.
She just pushes play, and you can hear Tom saying all that stuff, and Adam freaks out. He's like,
this was
I'm going to kill you.
Literally.
He's like, if you say another word about the woman I love, if you look at her, if
I
you
love,
even think
I know,
about her.
Why did that not become a thing?
I know.
Right? He's like, sorry. I'm going to fucking kill you. I was like, I love it. And then she's like, he's not worth it.
Girl, I would have been like, Yeah, and period.
I'd be like, say it loud for the people in the back. And so immediately Adam is like, I'm going to fix this and then I'm going to come find you and I'm going to take care of you. But I have to go do this right now because this is serious shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she goes back to the hotel and ends up flying home with her friends. And Adam ended up going back to Harvard with the important people and basically like burying Tom.
Yeah.
Like ruining his career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Making sure he never does this to anyone ever again because you know he's been doing it.
Yeah.
He manipulated Adam and like worked Mikesh. Against Adam. And now he's doing it to Olive. And you know he's done it to so many students and so many, so many people.
Yeah.
So that was awesome. Mm. And I was so glad that Malcolm got his man.
I know. That was cute.
And they were all perfect together. So Malcolm is with Holden Rodriguez, which is Adam's best friend. And then Olive's with Adam. And they're all friends. And they're going to go on a double date.
They're all friends.
That was so perfect.
That's so beautiful. It really was.
But I loved how the book ended with the last sentence being Olive telling Adam that she loved him in Dutch.
Yes.
That was cute.
Did you read the bonus chapter?
Yes. And I had one thing from there.
I wish that it was the first kiss in the hallway.
Yeah, I wished it had been something else. It was over basically the part where they have sex for the first time in his point of view. Did you read it?
No, I don't. I think it was not.
I don't think it was in everything. Because what my book says now with the bonus chapter. So it might not be in every copy. But all of it was basically like the same thing. Like their sex from his side of it.
But I love a male perspective.
One point that it did point out was like why Adam didn't stay with Olive in the first place or why he wasn't, you know, he was trying to navigate that. And he said that he was saying that Tom would probably ask why Adam was not staying with Olive and make a few more jabs about how whipped he is. And I was like, that guy is trash.
That
freaking hate him. But that would have been nice to know sooner. But at the beginning, like Holden did say, like, watch your back with him. He's not a good guy.
Mm.
So I guess we did kind of know. Speaking of Holden, let's talk about third date.
What a transition.
My first highlight is about Malcolm.
Okay.
Which was my first highlight was. So when Olive first tells Malcolm what's going on, he's like, but are you guys having sex? And she's like, no. And he's like, to be clear, oral and butt stuff totally counts as sex.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard. But what are some other things? I liked after their second kiss, Adam touched his lips.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, like he was like savoring it. I thought that was cute.
I almost like the kisses more because they're more intimate.
I know. That's what I think.
In the surrounding.
Yeah.
In the hotel room when she kissed or when they kissed, you know? That kiss meant more than the sex to me.
Yeah.
Because
it always does.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's usually at a time in the story where, like, if they don't have this, why are we reading this book? Like, this is the climax of all the tension that's happening.
Yeah.
And you're like, just make it happen. Just kiss already. And then they do, and you're like, oh my God.
I mean, I'm happy for her that the sex was great since before it was like whatever. Because even in like her little hypothesis at the beginning of each chapter, it was so funny. And one of them was like, oh, sex is just, oh.
Yeah.
Like that was funny. So good for her that she's having good sex now because that's great for everyone. But the fact that they like genuinely had a connection first, I love that.
Well, and she even talked about that. Like she doesn't just have sex with anyone.
Yeah.
She wasn't even really sexually attracted to anyone prior to him because she had to have that trust and that connection first, that relationship. But even kind of like what you said was one of the parts that really like made me just like giddy, like smile and just like, oh, you're just like, I love it. Was when she grabbed his hand.
Yeah.
Like she was holding his arm and then she slid down to his hand when they held hands. I was like, I love
it. Cute, 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 cute.
But I did. I said that Allie really perfected the spice for this book because it was just enough. Because the whole book, you're like, is this closed door romance? Like,
that's what I thought.
What are we going to get? What are we going to get? And then finally when it happens, you're like, not closed door.
Not at all.
Wide open.
That door was not even ajar. It was open.
But it was so good because it was like perfect. It wasn't too much. Mm-hmm. You know, it was descriptive. Yeah. But it wasn't like crazy and it wasn't disgusting.
And they still have like their little banter in it. Mm-hmm. And he even stops her from talking and he's like, I changed my mind. And she's like, oh God, this is so awkward. He doesn't want to do anything. And he's like, my favorite color is green because her panties are green.
Well, this part threw me for a loop. Because she was saying, because you don't want me, like, you don't want it, right? Maybe it's just I'm not attractive to you.
Oh, yeah. I did not expect that.
And then she said it nearly made her lose her balance the way he tugged at her wrist and pulled her hand to himself, pressing her palm flush to his groin to show her that,
that feel like I know? Yeah.
And he says, you have no fucking idea what I want. Uh-huh. I said,
that was so aggressive.
I was like, that's hot. I was like, I wasn't expecting that from him. Right.
Like,
and then later he calls her sweetheart. Uh-huh. Like, it was while so they're cute. Kissing. And I was like, I like that. Wasn't expecting that either.
But was so amazing.
One of the things, big fan of him. I wanted to clarify, like, was Olive a virgin? Had she just done like hand stuff? Or
I feel like she
had maybe had sex like once,
but there was like years in between.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Another funny part was when he was going down on her and she was like super uncomfortable because that's like a really vulnerable thing. Mm. And she's like, what the fuck is happening? Mm-hmm. And she's like, shouldn't we do something for you? Like, don't you want to, can't I do something for you? And he's like, this is something I want to do. Okay. I was like, okay, sir. She kind of brought Adam out in these points where I was like, just not expecting him to say or do the things that he did.
Yeah.
When Olive's like, you're so big. And he's like, you can take it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
sir.
Oh my gosh.
We can dig it.
I mean, when the doors are closed, things change.
Right. This is true. What do you guys, what's your take on socks? Do we wear socks during sex or not?
Socks or no socks? In ever? General, I like free toes. I mean, just in my life,
I like free toes.
I like free toes. Free toes. That should be one of our shirts. Free your toes. I don't. I mean, I feel like that's awkward.
Don't wear socks in bed ever.
Yeah.
I don't care if the other person is whatever.
I feel like if by I'm the other thinking person, about I'm it, paid. Probably no socks. But I can't say that it's ever.
I know. What if you're just happened with doing a little on. Quickie and you got to keep your socks on?
Yeah.
You should go do.
Yeah. I mean, if it's, I guess, situational.
It depends on the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This next part I was pointing out because of the neurospicy side of things. It was when he was fingering her.
And he was what? Sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
It faded out just a little bit. Can you repeat yourself?
Well, do you want me to read it or just say
whatever you want to do?
He put his finger inside of her.
Okay.
And she gasped. But then she's like,
I'm sorry.
Oh God. Okay, she could hear the wet noises down there. And she was disgusted.
I'm disgusted right now.
And she's like, and he probably is too. And oh my God, these noises. And
it's macaroni and cheese noises.
Right? I was like, I feel you, girl. Like, the noises. Sometimes you're just like,
you have some background sound.
You can't, you're like in the mood and then you hear that. And then all you can't unhear it.
I just wanted to tell her that she needed to go potty. She did not.
Yeah.
He finished inside of her.
Uh-huh.
And they went to bed.
Oh.
Go to the bathroom. That is a yeast infection. Yeah. Calling
UTI.
Your name.
Yeah.
UTI.
You need to go to the bathroom, honey.
What go, was
at
that?
Least try.
We read a book that said that.
Mm-hmm.
We did.
She was going to get, she just knew she was going to get a UTI. Yeah. From bad luck.
I can't remember.
That gives me like Lucy Score vibes. Yeah. I feel like it that would have been a Lucy Score quote.
But
That concludes the third date for me.
I loved it.
Anyone else have things to comment on?
No, I think you covered it.
Right. So. Should we do fuck, marry, kill?
Yes, we should.
What you got? What you got?
I don't know. I think that I am going to F and marry Adam.
Same.
There wasn't a big choice. I love Malcolm, but he obviously is batting for the same team.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't work out.
Well, he went both ways.
That's true.
He did have girls too.
And I mean, it seems like he's a great time.
Okay. Go ahead and finish.
I don't know. But I would obviously kill Tom, and my best friend would be Malcolm.
Okay.
Mine is F Malcolm, marry Adam, be best friends with Malcolm, because Annie was not a good choice.
No.
or I would be friends with Olive.
Mm-hmm.
And then kill Tom.
Yes.
I loved Malcolm her friend. He was amazing.
Yeah.
And then Anne sucked.
Yeah. I have some good ones. Mine are quite similar, and then they go off the wall.
Okay.
So F Adam, marry Adam, kill Tom. My best friend would be Olive in the Uber driver. Do you remember the Uber driver?
In the small scene.
Oh, so you came in with the shot in the leg.
Yes. When Olive couldn't get out of the car because her legs weren't working? And then the girl's like, are you okay? Don't throw up in my car, please. And then she's like, oh, wait, something's really wrong. Well, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you burn your fingertips off and your fingerprints off and go somewhere else or something? I was like,
she very much had your vibe.
Yeah. I was like, I like her. Yeah. That's funny. So that was my pick. Should we do speed date?
Yeah.
Do you want to do your questions before our people or do you want to do our people?
Whichever. What do you think?
I don't care. I feel like we always forget about your questions. So
we can do my questions.
Okay.
First. Ugh.
All right.
I'm not going to get any of these.
What TV show did Olive watch after Anne confronted her about Adam?
Ugh.
She also watched this later on with Malcolm.
It's a scary show.
It is not a scary show.
It's an old show. It's a show that I never watched.
It's a TV show.
Yeah, I don't know.
American Ninja Warrior.
Oh, yeah. No, not scary.
No, yeah.
She did like scary movies, though, I think.
What day was the end of their fake relationship?
September 29th.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What did Olive order for Adam at the coffee shop the first, second time?
Chamomile tea, and he was pissed.
Yep.
Wow. I'm telling you, I'm not going to get
this. This is a hard one. They mentioned this briefly one time. At the very end of the
briefly movie. Oh gosh,
what was Holden's dog's name?
It was a human name. Doug.
Give me the letter
F.
Phineas. No, that's her.
Frederick.
Fleming.
Oh.
What dessert did Malcolm make for Olive?
Oh, dang it.
Give me
I don't remember.
I'll give you a hint. It was a type of cookie.
No bake.
Peanut butter.
Oatmeal.
Butterscotch.
Oh, gross.
What is the nickname that Malcolm calls Olive?
Huh?
Butterscotch cookies are so good.
I don't know if I've ever had one.
Maybe, yeah.
They just have butterscotch chips in them.
Nope. Hey,
what was the nickname that Malcolm called Olive?
All?
No.
We're talking about the sweetheart one?
Oh! No. Something.
It's a type of olive.
I don't know.
Kalamata.
Kalamata.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Yeah, that was pretty cute.
What theme did Holden have 5 times for his birthday party?
Power Rangers.
Yep.
Which is such an epic theme.
And this one,
my brother
was absolutely disgusting. So it's definitely stuck in my memory forever. What does Olive put on her bagel?
Cream cheese and ketchup.
Yep.
Which is
yeah, that's real weird.
I love bagels.
Is there meat putting on ketchup on it? Like if there was sausage.
No.
And other things.
I can't even justify it then. No.
Sometimes I get mac and cheese, and if there's ketchup and it touches it, I'll still eat it.
Oh, I wanted to.
If there's like a burger on the plate.
Point out something that just barely popped up in my head. Adam does not like chocolate, right? He says that in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
When they're at the hotel, he gives her a protein bar and she's eating it.
Because he
and
got
she's
her.
She's like, this is chocolate. So he specifically bought that chocolate bar
for her. Because he's an amazing person.
He got her protein bars because he knew she wasn't going to be eating right.
God, he wanted to fatten her up.
And I liked her advisor's quote when she said, carry yourself like a mediocre white man.
Yep. That's so true for anyone. They have so much confidence for someone that should not have that much confidence.
All right, let's see y'all's picks.
Okay. I have one for Malcolm and Olive and Adam.
Okay.
Ooh, okay. I only did Olive and Adam.
Okay. Let me do my Malcolm and Anne, and then we can do our side-by-sides of our Olive and Adams. So my Malcolm is someone from my favorite movie.
Which is?
To All the Boys I've Loved Before. And it is Trezzo Mahoro. I'm saying his name so
just
wrong.
Butchering.
But he's Lucas. Remember Lucas from
yes.
her friend that she said she had a crush on? And he's like, you know
that's
I'm gay, right?
One.
That's Malcolm.
That's cute. Okay.
And that he is, fits well.
Yeah.
That's it. That is
he
100%
played that character right.
Like who I felt mm-hmm. like
I love that
Malcolm
movie.
Was.
It's a good movie.
Okay, so I kind of did Anne dirty a little bit.
Good.
Do you guys remember in Pitch Perfect the
weird girl?
The Asian girl that doesn't, that like she never talks and she's got really big eyes? That's how I pictured.
That's funny.
I was able to pick a better picture of her.
I do think she's kind of cute.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, she's cute when she's not doing the eyes for the girl. Because she makes her eyes like really big and she acts weird, which is great acting for her part. So she is really pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in my head, I was visualizing her like the girl from Pitch Perfect. It is Hannah Mae Lee.
Hannah Mae Lee.
That's a cute name.
But she's real cute. She is cute. But
we saw her in a different movie recently, and I can't tell you what movie it was, so sorry. But she was really cute in that movie, too.
Oh. Do you want to do your Olive?
Yes.
And then I'll do my Olive?
So I couldn't pick between these two, and they're very specific photos of these people because they have changed so much throughout the years.
That's how I was with my guy. I was like, don't pick the wrong one.
Yeah. So for my Olive, I picked Emma Stone.
Ooh.
But specifically this picture.
Okay.
And Natalie Portman.
It was kind of funny. They didn't talk about her hair color a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. I know that she had like a little bit of a reddish probably because she had so much freckles. Because
I picked her a little red too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But
I can see them together being a really good Olive.
If I think if they just mixed all of their traits, then it would be perfect.
Yeah, like her haircut and Natalie Portman's nose and haircut shifted over.
Almost debating between Natalie Portman and Millie Bobby Brown, but I wanted her hair to be more orange.
Yeah. Well, mine is Sarah Drew. She is April Kepner from Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, okay.
So if you've watched Grey's Anatomy, her personality is spot on with Olive. Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
And so I tried to get a picture of her being a little more saucy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's who I picked. She's got red hair and she's got freckles.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I was leaning more toward Natalie Portman because she...
Oh, look at that second one of her.
Sometimes. Oh, that is perfect. She's so cute.
Isn't
that... That's the sunshine.
Yep.
Yeah. That one's perfect. I love that. What's her name?
Let's see your
That's Sarah Drew.
Sarah Drew.
I only have one for my Adam.
Me too. And I think mine's perfect.
Who'd you pick?
I picked a man named Tom Lieb, who is a French actor and singer.
Ooh.
I got a shirtless picture. I know we love one of those.
Yeah. We got to have it because Adam was ripped. You got to make sure it's the right kind of ripped.
Oh.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, okay. So I like.
Oh, look at that smirk.
The thing with the descriptions of him in the book was that he was so big.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like trying to find a guy that was like big muscular
mm-hmm.
and not like just lean.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful specimen of a man.
Yeah.
That in a lab coat? Come on.
With nothing.
I think I like mine.
Okay.
I picked Tyler Hoechlin. He was Superman.
Ooh. Oh.
And is the show called Teen Wolf?
Yeah.
He was on that as well.
His eyes
but wait till you see his
apart.
Other picture.
Ooh. Oh, why does his eyes look so far apart in the other picture?
Wolf.
I don't know. It was really hard to get a picture. And this picture is actually like a moving one.
Mm.
The one with his shirt off.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't find a still. Like, this is a still, but it's a shot from the
like
moving one.
Uh-huh.
So it like looks kind of weird. But that's who I picked.
Ripped.
It was hard. Ripped. Dark hair. Big. Muscly. I think he's over 6 foot tall. I was getting to the specifics.
Well, she said that she was 5'8" and mm-hmm. he was calling her short. She's mm-hmm. like, that's not short. Girl, 5'8". If he thinks you're short.
Yeah. You're like a little Willy Wonka Oompa Loompa. Well, smash or pass?
Smash.
And it's I a would nice love to read more of her books.
Yes.
It was so cute
yeah.
and light and
yes.
fun. I mean, there was some heavier parts.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough to like deter me from reading it.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it.
I said smash. And then just so we all know, her other books are Love on the Brain, Love Theoretically. And she just came out with a new book called Bride. And it's a fantasy Bride. Type
Ooh.
Book, I believe.
Is this, it has a black cover with
uh-huh.
a girl with white and there's red.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That's on my TBR. I didn't
oh,
know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Zoe gets to pick our happily ever after. And it is.
It is a book called Never Fall for Your Fiancé.
Oh.
And Sydney, it is a historical rom-com.
Wow. How exciting.
Wait a minute, girl.
And it is by Virginia Heath.
Okay, okay.
Hold on. Let me see this cover, honey. Let me see this cover.
It is a fake dating trope.
Oh! What's it called?
Never fall for your fiance.
Never fall for your fiance.
It's a series.
I know. How awful.
Okay. I'm explaining. And well, it's a Kindle Unlimited, too. Free.
I bought it. My bad.
Ah. All right, y'all. If you want to follow us on IG, we are at Lovers Library Pod. We're also that on Facebook. We also have a Facebook group for our book club, which is at Lovers Library Book Club. If you want to follow us also on TikTok, we are at lovers.library.po. Thank you guys for listening. We'll have our next episode up on Friday, and we'll see you soon.
Happily ever after.
Bye.